Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. So again, as we talk about God as Spirit, we see the Trinity at work. The Spirit is not talked about as God the Father or as Jesus, but as being a discrete entity, a person with personhood. And yet, the Spirit at the same time is not separate from God or the Son. So it sounds a little confusing. I think the message on the Trinity is up on the web, and it may not hurt to review that if you want to explore that further. Jesus teaches his disciples, and he prays extensively for them on the night he is betrayed. And he offers some teaching on the Spirit that he promises to send. The Spirit is going to communicate what is true and what it is from Christ, and what is God, from God the Father. And this is summarized in John 16:13. So again, we see the Spirit as operating in coherence with the Father and the Son, but also in a unique way as well, that's not contained by the Father and the Son solely. So we have three in one. Anyway, this is what Jesus says about the Spirit. When the Spirit of truth comes, in John 16, Jesus says, he will guide you into all truth. Very simple phrase. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Well, I want to offer some examples of how the Spirit leads Christ's disciples today, because all this can be very abstract, and how in the world do you bring that down to earth? Well, that is exactly the role of the Holy Spirit, is on a continuing basis, the Spirit brings God down to earth, if you will. Christ, of course, became in flesh, God in the flesh, what the theologians call the incarnation. But Christ knows he's going to ascend to the Father, and he says, this isn't going to end. This God with us is not going to end. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit will guide you into all truth. The Spirit does guide us, actually. The Spirit does speak to us. And as the Spirit speaks, sometimes it helps to have a discerning community around, so that if I say, the Spirit said to Dan XYZ, you can say, that sounds like the Holy Spirit, or, that actually sounds more like Dan. And that's why we need the community of disciples to engage in spiritual discernment together. And in the Presbyterian Church, that's why we have a very balanced system of government. But there are in the world some very wise and spiritual people who seem to have a level of connection to the Holy Spirit that yields a sense of guidance that whole communities follow in a healthy way, because it's truly miraculous in the way that it is from God, and it's not at all misleading people away from God or into some sort of narcissistic experience with that leader, but actually there's a word from God given for the benefit of the whole community, and it serves the whole community in a selfless way. So here's a modern true story of God working in that way. In the desert, from sociologist Kyriakos Markidis in his book, Gifts of the Desert. A spiritual elder from the Eastern Orthodox Church from Mount Athos, the holy mountain of that Christian communion, which is fairly close to Greece from a different part of the world, that spiritual elder was sent to America to be treated for health problems. Now, the book tells us that while he was here, he was in a deep state of prayer, and Kyriakos only refers to him as Elder E, but Elder E heard God speak in his heart while he was praying, informing him that he must return to America, actually. So he has the treatment, goes back, and he's in prayer, and he has to return to America and create monasteries. So in this book, Elder E and his group of sponsors come back. And according to Kyriakos Markidis, they drove around the deserts of the Southwest to find an appropriate location, buy land, and build a monastery in America. It had to be away from the cities, deep enough in the desert to safeguard the conditions of silence for systematic spiritual work. One day during their search, they heard church bells ringing. Now, they're out in the middle of the desert driving around, but they hear church bells ringing. The elder considered it a sign that they had located the divinely ordained spot. He asked his companions and supporters to buy the land at that very spot. They, however, had serious reservations. The area was without a drop of water. Elder E nonetheless insisted, and his financial patrons and disciples finally agreed to buy the land, a large area of desert whose purchase they feared was tantamount to throwing their money away. Human habitation of any sort appeared virtually impossible. Besides, they knew that the authorities would never issue a permit to set up such an installation in a place where there was no water source nearby. As expected, the state of Arizona rejected their request. A proposal to import water was not an option that might persuade the officials to change their mind. Then the elder inquired whether they could get permission to begin construction in the event that they did find water. Well, the answer was yes. If you find water, you can start construction. So Elder E retreated into the desert for 3 days, abstaining from all food and water and doing nothing except praying. At the end of the third day, the elder announced that there was water deep underneath their desert property. He then identified the exact spot where they should dig, and immediately his sponsors hired a company to begin the drilling. When they reached 1,000 feet, lo and behold, water gushed out in great force. They had hit upon a large underground lake. The discovery, which they attributed to a miracle, not only made possible the creation of the monastery of St. Anthony's, but also led to plans for further expansion, including the creation of a women's monastery nearby. In addition, there was enough surplus water to sell to nearby towns. Amazing. Amazing the way that the Spirit works in such concrete, meaningful ways in this day and age. I was so encouraged when I read this story years ago because it was such a dramatic, real-life example of God's Spirit guiding a modern-day disciple who was so tuned in, Elder E. Okay, that's Eastern Orthodoxy. That's people who are devoted to a life of prayer. They don't have the same bills to pay. They don't have a family to tend. They don't typically have their own house that they have to take care of. What about those of us who are not monks, who don't fast and pray in the desert for 3 days straight? Maybe I could learn to do that. I'm a ways away from it, to be honest. But I was rereading this verse this week and focused on this phrase that the Spirit leads us into truth. The Spirit leads us into truth. So what's the truth about us and God's presence with us? A few years ago, I had the opportunity to go on my first ever kindergarten field trip to the zoo. I had assumed that either I or both Levi and I would be following the bus in my car. But Levi marched in the door before the trip one day with a little yellow slip that informed me that I had been selected by lottery to ride in the school bus with 2 kindergarten classes. I felt special, but I was also sure that I was also not sure that I really wanted to be that special, actually. I like things like personal space. I decided I would roll with it and enjoy it. And I had a little bit of anticipatory anxiety about the whole thing. Well, the ride to Baltimore Zoo was uneventful, and we had a nice time at the zoo. As Levi recounts the trip, this is the way he put it, because he was asked when he came home by mom, and he said, well, the trip had pluses and minuses. This was 3-4 years ago. The plus was we saw giraffes and elephants and lions and bears. The minus was, and this is my phrasing, we were caught in multiple downpours. And I don't mean sprinkles. I mean torrential downpours. In a moment of relative dryness under a shelter that I found, a neighbor asked me, who also had found the shelter, how are you doing, Dan? I sort of looked at her, just sort of dripping wet. Then she kind of smiled and said, are you enjoying the field trip from hell? I wasn't thinking about it quite that way. But I started to in the next half hour as things unfolded because there was so much rain. It was amazing that things didn't just sort of, the animals weren't just sort of, you know, drifting by us on the walkways, that there weren't crocodiles out in the zoo there drifting. And the 2 sweet, soft-spoken kindergarten teachers, it was like they turned into Marine sergeants yelling, fall back to the bus. You could see them like almost in an army movie, like motioning like this, screaming at everybody. We all made it back, but I was completely unprepared. I don't think I even had an umbrella. We found our way into the school bus, and it was like the school bus needed a drain in the middle of the floor. We were all, I mean, you know, there's probably like an eighth, quarter of an inch of water on the floor. And we were cold, we were wet, we were drenched, and we had to wait for everyone in the entire zoo to be rounded up to leave. I knew sitting there that dry clothes and comfort were still like an hour to an hour and a half away. May sound like I'm whining a little bit, but it was one of those times where it's like we realize how comfortable, I realize how comfortable I normally am, and this was such a different experience. I didn't have control over the situation. It wasn't like, oh, maybe we should go. It was like, oh, I'm on everybody else's timetable. I guess I'll get drenched. Well, so many of us have been situations like that, and Levi's drenched, and thankfully not quite as aware of it, how uncomfortable he is as I am, and he said, Dad, I don't have anything to do. And for once, I was really grateful that I had a cell phone with kids' games on it that he could be glued to nonstop for like an hour. And that's what we did. I just handed it over. Here you go. Play whatever you want to play. You don't have any screen time limits. Just do whatever you want to do. Well, that left me with nothing to do for the hour, plus on the way home. And lots of kids were doing their kindergarten thing on the bus. They were laughing, joking about bodily functions, exercising certainly bodily functions, and yelling at each other out of the blue. Other adult parents were yelling at the kids, and then others were yelling about the yelling. It was a pretty noisy, chaotic, cacophonous, wet place. So I was tempting to go to this bad place of, you know, drowning, if you will, in my own wet discomfort. And then I thought, well, I read this book years ago about a man who prayed a lot, and he said, you know, I'm never bored because whenever I have time where there's nothing to do, I just start praying, and all of a sudden, time just sort of goes away. And I thought, well, maybe that's what I could do. I could sit here and pray. I'm kind of in this business anyway. This is my vocation. It's a great time to practice. So I decided to start praying the classic Jesus prayer, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. I began to feel better, and I was able to pray for a bit, but somehow that prayer didn't sink down deep where I needed to pray it. And I thought, I'm not really tuning in here. So then I thought, well, I'm gonna exercise, I'm gonna practice some centering prayer. And centering prayer is very, very simple. It's just placing a word in one's mind, repeating on it silently, meditating on it, focusing on it. And when one feels that the attention is drifting, coming back to it. So it's just placing a word in your mind and coming back to it when you drift away from it. Very simple. And I thought, well, I've got some other tools at my disposal. I studied yoga and I know how to breathe in a meditative way. And so I'm combining breath, rhythmic breath, very, you know, subtly. Nobody else knows what's going on. Everybody thinks I'm taking a nap. My eyes are closed. But I need the word. What's the word? I went through a couple in my mind. Peace. Joy. None of them really resonated. And then the word love. Boom. It was like there was this connection. I put that word in my mind to remind me of God, love, and it was like it clicked. I repeated it whenever I felt distracted by the noise. Pretty soon the noise sort of drowned out, and I offered it up to God as a prayer, love. It was like everything had been disconnected, chaotic, and irritating, and all of a sudden it became harmonious. All of a sudden, I was grateful for the sounds of these boisterous children. They're giggling and they're laughing and maybe even a little bit of the arguing. It united sort of like a symphony of worship as in the silence of my mind, I repeated that word, love. It was a prayerful word that at that moment for me united everything. And you see, underneath it all, love is the truth. That was the truth in that moment that I needed to recall. I was distracted by being wet, a little uncomfortable, not on my own timetable. I was having amnesia about the deepest truth in life, about being God's love. And so that centering prayer called me back to that. And in that moment, the Spirit led me into truth. Just like Jesus said the Spirit would do. This has been, for some people, a tumultuous week, a week of emotions, a week of wondering where things are headed. Underneath it all is God's love. May God's Spirit lead us into that truth of God's love. You know God is Spirit. How will you stay connected with God this week? Let's pray. Almighty God, we can be distracted by so many things that we deem important. And some of them are important, if in a worldly sense. And yet, we know that you are here. We know that amidst the distraction, amidst the wondering, amidst the arguing on social media and television, that there are deeper truths that feed our souls like a subterranean river. Think of the Holy Spirit like that, nourishing us with pure, fresh water. Almighty God, refocus us, recalibrate us, flip our narratives so that the lens that we see the world through, that may be cloudy or distorted or cracked, is pure, and that we can see every human being that we see on television or in the store as your creation, and someone worthy and waiting, worthy of love and waiting to be loved. We thank you, dear God, that your Spirit leads us into truth, and that truth is that God is love. Lead us into that truth day in, day out this week. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.